What we want to try to do is we want to try to discover God's plan for husband and wife. God made us male and female. And that is good. God said it was good. I think we would agree with God that that was right. But just because something is good does not mean that it is easy. Every marriage has its challenges. And every marriage has its issues. And every marriage has seasons that are harder than other seasons. But today, as I have done in all of these messages, today I want to focus from a uniquely Christian perspective on why this is the case. Marriage is hard. And marriage can be a very big struggle in our lives because you have an enemy. We have an enemy. We've already seen in past messages that God's agenda for our marriage is bigger than our own personal happiness. God wants, through Christian marriage, to display to this dark world the light and love of His Son Christ for His church. The unconditional commitment in a Christian marriage is an announcement call to the world of what the gospel is like. And Satan is going to try to do everything he can to destroy, distort, and disrupt that picture. And contrary to what it might feel like sometimes, your enemy is not your mate. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Our enemy is the devil. So, how is the enemy trying to assault every important relationship in our lives? What does he do? Well, what lies behind all of the struggles, really, in marriages? Here's the answer. Lies. Lies lie behind most struggling marriages. And honestly, that's the same thing that is behind your struggle with sin. Jesus, speaking of the devil in John 8:44, in the latter part of the verse, said that he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he's a liar and the father of lies. Think about it. The very first marriage was attacked by the enemy. How did he attack them? He sowed seeds of deception. He tried to get them to believe that what was not true was actually true. Why would he change his strategy now when it has continued to be so effective for him? We get destructive thoughts in our head that sounds like they're our own thoughts, but they're not. They were planted there. Has it ever crossed your mind that not every thought that crosses your mind comes from you? We need to train ourselves to recognize and realize the source of each of our thoughts. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, "The weapons that we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." It is important to think about what we think about. So, just like Satan's strategy has not changed, he's going to attack our marriage by sowing lies and thoughts into our mind, the counter strategy has not changed either. You and I need to be more equipped and more effective at recognizing satanic deception. Or to put it another way, what we must do is we must learn to choose truth over myth. You see, here's the thing. We behave like we behave because we believe what we believe. If I believe something to be true, even though it's not true, I will act like it is true, and the consequence will be destruction and toxin poured into all of my closest relationships. Scientists have discovered that when we repeat a thought, what we're doing in our brain is we're creating a neural pathway in our brain, like a shortcut. And the more frequently that we entertain a thought, the more automatically, the more fast our brain defaults to go right down that neural pathway. And listen, that's great if what you're thinking are healthy, helpful thoughts. The problem is, too often, we dwell on, think about, and just reside in these lies. So there are neural pathways that have been created in each of our brains that we need to try to reroute. And what I want to do this morning is spend some time discussing some of the most common lies that impact our minds and our marriages negatively. I obviously don't have time to talk about all of them, but these are some of the ones that I believe are the most common ones that I see Satan using to attack marriages. Here's the first one. Write it down. Marriage should not be this hard. I think that's because we all grew up watching all those movies where everyone, quote, lived happily ever after. There's a reason why happily ever after is in fairy tales, because it's a fairy tale. That's not how real life actually works. Marriage is hard. And you say, well, Pastor, God brought us together. I'm a believer. He's a believer. Well, yes, your marriage may be made in heaven, but it's still got to be lived here on a fallen, cursed earth. This is my definition of marriage. When one sinner unites with another sinner and they come together and produce little sinnerlings. You name any area in your life that gets better without pursuit and effort and intention. Your job, your hobby, your health? What part of your life can be just improved by you being lazy and expecting it to get better? So why is this not true of marriage? The grass is greener on the other side of the fence because the grass is green where it's watered. So listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That's what Natalie read at the beginning of the service. Notice those first three words. Make every effort. Make every effort at peace with everyone and make every effort at being holy. Marriage is hard. You will have conflict. So, you must make effort. You must make every effort at being peaceful. And listen, as hard as marriage is, divorce is harder. Ask any couple that's been married for 20, 30, or more years. They will tell you, it's not been easy. But they will tell you always, it's been worth it. Satan will always try to get you to give up. But if you don't, you are building a holy history. A history that blesses you and the people that are closest to you and the people that come after you. And some of you might think, I get it. I know that there's conflict in marriage, but the reason that my particular marriage is hard, and this is the second lie, is because I married the wrong person. I should have married somebody else. It's like the story of the young man who came to his pastor who had actually performed his wedding 6 weeks earlier. And he said, "Pastor, I want out of my marriage." And the pastor said, "Well, you said that you would take her for better or for worse." And he said, "Yeah, but she's worse than I took her for." The problem is our entire dating system is built on deception. We present the best side of our personalities to each other. And think about it. This is social media as well. And then you get married, and you see who each other really is. The challenge of marriage is not to enjoy the person you thought you were marrying. The challenge of marriage is to learn to celebrate and love the person you actually married. If incompatibility was grounds for divorce, I wouldn't tell anybody to get married. Because we are all wonderfully different. And we bring those differences into every single marriage. For example, we bring family of origin differences into our marriage. We are not raised by the same people or in the same ways. My family and Shannon's family are different in how they operate. They just are. Some families are more organized and more scheduled. Some don't even know what those words actually mean. Some families are pretty reserved, and others are very open and emotional. We also bring different personalities and different temperaments into our marriage. That's not a bad thing. That's just reality. Shannon is more introverted than I am. I am more extroverted. Shannon is more reserved. I am actually more emotional. We learned early on in our marriage that I am a morning person, and Shannon is annoyed by morning people. We bring different pasts into our marriage. Every single one of us brings baggage into our marriage. Shannon and I both spent the first few years of our marriage trying to do well, but inadvertently we poked places in our lives that got a huge reaction from the other person, and that's because we had accidentally poked a wound. And sometimes it wasn't a wound that the person even knew they had until it got poked. And on top of different families and different personalities and different pasts, we all bring a sin nature into our marriages. We just need to accept up front that when we get married, that we are wonderfully different people. And God, marriage is God's classroom for you and for me, to teach us how to love that difference. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. "Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony." There is no perfect mate out there. Period. That is one reason why the divorce rates for subsequent marriages is much higher than the original marriage. Because people bought this lie that I just married the wrong person, so they go searching for the right choice. And it's not true. Every marriage is made up of two people on whom God is working. And compatibility is this mutual decision that we are going to cooperate with God in what He's doing in the life of the person that we actually married. Billy Graham shared the key to his over 50-year marriage with his sweet wife, Ruth, saying, "We are happily incompatible." Now here's another lie, a particularly toxic lie that comes up a lot, and that is, I'm not the one with the problem. And I want to stop for just a moment. I want to give a little disclaimer. Because what I am going to say is true for most marriages. But if you are in a marriage where your spouse is a serial adulterer with affair after affair after affair after affair, or where your spouse has an addiction problem and they refuse to get the help that he or she needs to overcome that problem, or where your spouse is either abusing you or abusing your children or both, then what I'm talking about does not apply to you right now. In your case, your spouse is indeed the problem. And you don't own the guilt that they brought into the marriage. That does not mean that you don't have things to work on in your life. But it does mean that until they start to work on that giant boulder of a problem that they brought into your marriage, you working on the pebble-sized problems you have are not going to be enough for you to have a healthy marriage. There are times when you can look at a failing marriage and you can say, you know what, one of them was the problem. But most of the time when a marriage is in trouble, both partners have stuff that they need to own. Most couples would not need counseling if they would just ask this one question of each other every single day. Look at your spouse in the eyes and say, what's it like being married to me? Here's the thing. Your spouse does need to make some changes. You know what? You need to make some changes. We all need to make some changes. And God is working on all of us to make some changes until Jesus comes back. And I want you to say something with me out loud, because this is something that I think all of us need to remember this. So I'm going to put it up on the screen. I want you to say it with me. I am not my spouse's Holy Spirit. Let's say it again. I am not my spouse's Holy Spirit. God already has somebody doing that job. That means it is not your job to convict your spouse of their sins. This is the idea that Peter was trying to convey to women in the third chapter of 1 Peter. Basically, what he was saying was, you're not going to nag your husband into changing. But you can influence your spouse by living a holy life in front of him. Look at what he says in 1 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. So that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. We need to realize we don't have control over people. Actually, we don't have control over anything. So we need to give up this illusion of control, and we need to pursue influence instead. And we also need to be the healthiest person that we can be. You see, some of us are owning responsibility that is not ours to own. The only responsibility that you can own is your own growth. You can take steps that will improve your marriage, even if your spouse is not taking any steps from your vantage point. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. You must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You need to own responsibility for your growth. You are the one that needs to walk in a way that shapes your life after the image of Jesus. Now here's the thing. If you're not growing in knowledge of grace, if you're not growing in grace, And there's a particularly toxic lie the enemy tries to sow into your marriage to destroy your marriage. And that is, if he or she loved me, they would not. And fill in the blank. If they really loved me, there's no way that they would ever hurt me. You know, I've done a lot of weddings. And I think I need to write into the vows, I promise to hurt you. It should be for better and for worse. It is simply unrealistic to believe that two sinners can live together and never hurt one another. And here's what happens. Because that hurt is real, and because it came from the person that's actually supposed to love you better than anyone else on the world, it is so easy to begin to legitimize the anger and the bitterness and the mistrust that you feel. That's why I started this series with the first choice. We need to choose die over my. You've got to die to yourself and take up your cross. We must take up the cross of Jesus instead of getting cross every time we get hurt. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians 4. Get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of all rage and anger, all brawling and slander. Along with every form of malice, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I'm going to slow down on this. I'm going to go over this verse a little bit more. Get rid of all bitterness. How many people do I know that have such deep bitterness in their heart toward their mate? Rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Some people that I know that are married fight like they are demonically possessed and say the most ungodly, hurtful things to each other. And Paul says, be kind and compassionate to each other. This may be the most important part of marriage, where taking your thoughts captive is a blessing. Because each one of us has what we experience, and then we have the way we explain that experience. And so many times, the devil is right there to help you put a negative spin on how you explain the experience you had. The Bible says that God made man from the dust of the ground, and that means, you know what, us men are clods. And what I have seen my precious wife do over and over and over in our marriage, especially as we have grown older, is she has chosen numerous times to believe the best about me. That I wasn't actually trying to hurt her. You see, love always comes up with the most generous explanation. We should think the best of our spouses. Love never gives up. It's always hopeful. And that leads to one more lie. And this is a lie that some of you may have been thinking even very recently. There is no hope for our marriage. When we are in a place where our marriage is in a rough place and the waters are really churning, we tend to think there's only two options here. I can continue to live here in misery, or I can get out of this situation. I told you I'm sharing this from a uniquely Christian perspective, because there is a third option. The third option is resurrection. To take your vows seriously means that you are an Easter person. We believe that God can pour life into anything or anyone that seems dead. Nobody has a perfect marriage, but we do have a perfect Savior. Satan is always going to be there whispering right into your ear, it's too hard. Nothing's ever going to change. It's always going to be this way. You should just get out. That's because he wants you to give up. But remember, Jesus said, with man it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. If you hear the thought in your head that nothing's ever going to change, there is no hope, then you automatically know that is a lie from Satan. And it is high time that we begin to call it a lie and tell that lie to go to hell where it came from. I know couples who were in marriages that were absolutely dead, but through the power of the resurrected Jesus, they came back to life. And now they are thriving as couples. Remember, we behave like we behave because we believe what we believe. And what we have to decide is if we want to have the marriage that God wants us to have, is what do we actually believe? Do we believe in a God that raises the dead? There is hope for your marriage. And remember, I'm not a licensed counselor. But I'll meet with any couple. And I can direct you on to getting the kind of help that you need. And I've got a ton of resources to help you in your marriage. Just come talk to me. Text me. Call me. Don't be afraid to do what it takes to have the marriage that God wants you to have. It is past time that you start watering the grass on your side of the fence. Jesus is the truth. And the truth sets you free. And when we decide we are going to follow the words of Jesus, we become better equipped to defy the lie and experience the kind of freedom that the gospel calls all of us into. And my prayer is that God will reveal to you at least one place in your life where you need to begin to choose truth over myth. Would you stand up? I want to pray over you this morning. Father, I thank you for the gift of relationship. I thank you that when you saw that it wasn't good for man to be alone, that you created marriage. I thank you for the Holy Spirit to help us recognize the voice of truth. And we acknowledge today that we have an enemy who lies, but greater is he who is in us than he who is in this world. So, Father, right now, show us the lies that we have been believing that are from the enemy. Show us the truth that we need to begin to believe today. Through your strength, Father, help us to recognize and capture the lies that Satan will attempt to whisper to us in this coming week. Through your Spirit, help us to act and react to the people closest to us in nothing but what is really true. So we pray this, honoring the name of Jesus. Amen.